Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we really understand what a sanctuary you are to us, Lord. We can run into, and Lord, how that we recognize we're the temple, Lord. And so I, Lord, feeling pretty small this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I pray you'll make it big, Lord, because you're the interpreter of your word. And we pray you'll help us in the message this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to back this up just a little bit. That's all right. I have this quote on my... I have several quotes on my cabinet and hanging around in my room upstairs. And this one is from Overcoming. How can I overcome? And Brother Ram talks about that we overcome by recognizing Satan at all of his tricks. And then once you recognize him at all of his tricks, you recognize that he that is in you is greater than he that has all these tricks. And I've looked at that quote for a year or two now, just every so often stop and look at it. And I got to thinking about what's in that statement. And if you think about it, how can you recognize Satan at all of his tricks? You're not going to reason that one out. You're never going to reason it out and find Satan at all of his tricks. Because Satan is like the head of reasoning. Brother Bram said that God chose your heart and Satan chose your mind. And if you look at what Brother Bram says you reason with your spirit. He said you don't have any reasoning or thinking abilities with your body. And if you want that quote, I can give it to you. So you reason with your mind. But Brother Branham said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we don't want reasoning. We want that faith, because that's what he was talking about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Because Brother Branham said, God, you can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. That's where God deals, on faith. You know, it's revelation. That's how he said he was going to build his church. And there's no way around it. God doesn't deal by reasoning. And so he's not going to call you out by reasoning to you. And neither is he going to show you how to see Satan and all of his tricks by telling you how to reason. He's going to reveal to you what Satan's tricks are. Because that's how he builds his church. If overcoming is part of it, then that's... there's no way around it. God is going to show you all of Satan's tricks. And you think about that, because we're going to read a quote here in just a minute. Well, we've read quotes in the past where we talked about the church ages all probing at the truth. They had truth, but they were probing at it. Paul said he looked through a glass darkly. So could he recognize Satan at every one of his tricks? If you don't have the word, because the word, the revelation, is what keeps us. It's what lets us know the truth. And the truth is the thing that lets you see what is the not, was not truth. That makes sense? If I tell you the truth and you go all through the day, then you're going to recognize things that aren't the truth. You know, anybody. If God shows you what the truth is, you go through the day, you're going to see what isn't the truth. That's the only way to see what isn't the truth, is to know the truth. And so as I got to looking at that and thinking about that, I had quoted this quote to Brother Don the other day where Brother Branham said, that the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. And it goes right with that statement that you'll recognize Satan in all of his tricks. You'll have, do you realize what he said? She will have, thus saith the Lord, or she'll be quiet. Amen. You will have, thus saith the Lord. And if you don't have, thus saith the Lord, you don't have nothing to say. That's pretty complete. There's nothing beyond that. That little simple statement. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. And so, where does that leave reasoning? Is human reasoning got anything to do with that? Nothing whatsoever. Where human reasoning was that hit that little woman at the well when she recognized Christ standing before her? Where was the preacher that she turned around to and said, is he telling me the truth? The preacher had done told her the truth. And then the truth walked in front of her. The preacher done his job. He done told her the truth. Somewhere in her past, somewhere, a minister had told her the truth. But the minister didn't give her the truth. The truth walked in front of her and Christ gave her the truth. And so we got too many times that we open our mouths and we talk before we be still and let the Lord talk too many times. And we're not, no other age is promised this. Thus saith the Lord, I should be quiet. There's no other age promised that. Amen. But this one. And I'll read it to you here in just a few minutes. And so the last message I had mentioned, furthers around the message. And so I got to thinking about all three of those things. And Katrina and I went up to see Mom yesterday. And we took that, what's the name of that book? Generations book. And I'd been thinking about that testimony that, what's his name? You remember his name? Douglas McHugh. And I had told Sister Esther, she was over the other day, and I had mentioned that testimony to her. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, read that one while we're on the way up here. And somewhere in that testimony, he said he got to spend a month, I guess, out camping with Brother Branham. But he said he was sitting around the campfire one night, and he said, having come from a legalistic Pentecostal background, he said that he, when he read about Saul and what Saul had done, trying to kill David and the different things he'd done, that he had a hard time believing Saul was going to make it, that Saul was lost. And so he said he hadn't been thinking about that, but he had thought it in the past. And said he was sitting around the campfire one night, and he said the prophet looked over at him and said, you know, whenever Saul went and called Samuel up from the paradise, he said, Samuel looked at him and said, why'd you call me up today? He said, tomorrow you're going to be with me. And he looked at Douglas and he said, where do you think Samuel was? And he stopped a minute and he said, don't argue with the Lord. And I thought about that. So our reasoning would be like Douglas McHugh, who was looking at that and thinking, how could Saul make that? He's coming against David, you know? He's doing all these things. He tried to kill David and do all these other things. How can he make it? But the scripture said that Samuel said, you'll be with me. And Brother Branham said, don't question God. And I got to thinking about that, running my own life through that filter. You know, Brother Branham said, take every time you find a nugget, every time you find something in the Word, start running your life through that. See if it goes through that nugget. If it don't, then fix it, you know. So what is our promised land? Brother Branham said that our promised land was the truth. You know, whenever Caleb and Joshua come up there and went over to get the evidence of the land and come back, that they were Well, let me just read it for you. I don't want to get it out of order, so let me just read it to you. We'll get to that in just a minute, but let's start here. And modern events are made clear by prophecy. Whenever you're reading the message, don't forget what the title is, because those titles were given by God. So they were there for a reason. They mean something. There's many argue on that scripture there about John. See, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. And why comest thou unto me? And Jesus said, suffer that to be so, but thus it's becoming to us, behooving us, becoming that we fulfill. All right, John, you being a prophet, you know the sacrifice has got to be washed before it's presented. And I'm that sacrifice. And you're a prophet and know that. Then he suffered him and baptized him, see? And he knew it was. He knew what was going on. John did. Even though he was doing that, they were still laughing at him. Look, they laughed at him, called him a wild, screaming, unlearned fanatic. Now, he's not talking about just back there. We know that. Brother, when the veil has come off your eyes and you're reading this message, every example he's given back there, he's talking about now. And he'll bring it home. He's not playing. This is the unveiling of God right here. And I'm going to read you a scripture here in a couple of minutes or two places where Brother Bram said he never came right out and said it, but he did say it. And that's what we're getting right here. He's never coming right out and saying it, but he's saying it. So it's for those looking for it, Brother Bram said. They're the ones it's going to be revealed to. Look, they laughed at him, called him a wild, screaming, unlearned fanatic. Can you think they called Brother Branham that? As usual, that prophet forerunning the first coming of Jesus. I don't say that they don't have the same impersonations today of genuine. They do. They absolutely. But remember, when you see a bogus dollar, there's got to be a real dollar that's made off of it. So what he's doing is he's telling you, look around and see. You could see these other ministers, and they had healing ministries and stuff going on. Where you see one impersonating to be a Christian, there's got to be a Christian somewhere. And that never changes. From age to age, generation to generation, it never changes. There's always that going on. Where you see one impersonating to be a Christian, there's got to be a Christian somewhere. Because if there wasn't, that would be the original. If there wasn't, then the impersonation would be the original. And it can't be. You've got to get to the original. The original what? Example. The original unveiling. The original word. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to know what the original is? But check the first one and see if the original is just exactly with the promise. So how are you going to do that? If you don't know the truth, how are you going to know that this is the one? How did that little sister know when she was at the well that was the one? First of all, she had that bit of word that the minister had given her. She didn't know what it meant yet, but now she knew what it meant because God showed her what it meant. And that might seem like a little something, but it's not. But check the first one. See if the original is just exactly with the promise. The promise. The prophecy. See if that one you're looking at fits the prophecy or not. And if it is, believe it. The promise for the age. And then John's prophecy was vindicated in God's order. The word came to the prophet and vindicated him truly as that person. That was the only thing that was going to vindicate John, was the word coming to him. Because what is it? Because what Brother Branham taught us, look, he's building on top of stuff. Amos said that the Lord will do nothing unless he first shows his prophets. And so here he's getting ready to do something. And Brother Branham said, since he comes to John, he's showing who John is. He's vindicating what John said. The word came to the prophet and vindicated him truly as that person. What do you think he's talking about? Well, he's going to speak up and remove all doubt here in just a few minutes. Again, Jesus came in different from their understanding of that prophecy. Notice what's off. Their understanding is off. They're not waiting for God to give them understanding. They already got their own. They didn't understand it that way. Now, we're going down to the end now. But according to the prophet's word, it was fulfilled to the letter. The prophecy is fulfilled, but the way they thought it would be, it wasn't that way. They had their own idea. See, when you try to get your own way, when you try to figure out your own way, reason your own way, this is what happens. I know I've said those things before, but they matter, brother, sister. The way to the promised land is not through your reasoning. It is through giving it to God. It wasn't that way. Now, how could they have understood and known what was right and wrong? How could those ministers know that? To see if it was vindicated by God. That's how they should have known. Because they should be able to have seen it vindicated by God. And if it was God interpreting what he said. Not God speaking about what he said, but God bringing to pass what he said. You see what he's saying? Because Brother Branham always told us, interpreting is what? When God brings his word to pass. Not just talking about it. Not just the prophecy went out, but now it's happening. If it was God interpreting what he said, there had been false Jesuses raise up and lead a man, a bunch of 400, out into the wilderness and things. But he never proved to make himself in the word, you see, that one that led him out into the wilderness. He never proved himself in the word, and they followed him anyways. You see, like he said, Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in flesh. You know, that statement is so strong, they probably couldn't even stomach it when they first heard it. And today they can't stomach it. The person of Jesus Christ to be manifested in flesh. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom. Now he's bringing it home. I told you he wasn't talking about that, and y'all know that. Think of it. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Now he told you what he believes. Now he's showing you the scripture he's getting it from. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed. What is revealed? Unfolded, made known. The secret has been brought forth and revealed, vindicated, interpreted. That's what he just said. Not just talked about, it's been made known. It's been revealed. And in the day that the Son of Man will be revealed, the world will be in a Sodom condition. And we've got it, haven't we? Yeah, how many believes that? It's in a Sodom condition, and that's exactly right. Now, you think it's in a Sodom condition back then. He said it was in a Sodom condition. And you look at the mess we got now. We kind of put a Supreme Court justice in, and one of the questions they got to ask them is, define a woman. Did y'all hear that in the news? They asked her to define a woman. Would she define a woman? Could she define a woman? She said no. She's not a biologist. She wasn't going to do it. Yeah. And they're asking her that because they know these gender, transgender laws are coming. And that's the day we live in, brother, sister. Where they're going to tell you, biologically, this is a male, but you call it a female. Biologically, this is a female, but you call it a male. You call her whatever or he whatever they want to be called. Or you're a hate crime. Yeah. Like I said the other time, everybody has their truth but God. God's the only one don't have no truth. He can't have his truth, but everybody else can have theirs. What a mess. Yeah. If this ain't near the tipping point, I don't know when it's going to get there. I mean, think about it. We've got it, the Sodom condition, haven't we? Yeah. How many believes that? It's in a Sodom condition, and that's exactly right. Look where it's sitting now. So he's placing that perfectly, the full manifestation of Christ in flesh now. So this is going to sound like we're going off the road here, but just stick with me for a minute. I got a couple quotes I want you to look at what Brother Bram talks about going to the promised land. We've been turning around here on this mountain. We've been on this denominational mountain too long now. This is in 1961. We've been out here 40 years using this for evidence, speaking in tongues. Oh my. When there's powers that's unknown, when the sources, resources is untapped, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do. Ask the Father anything in my name, and I'll do it. Amen. Just define healing and speaking in tongues. Well, that's just a few grapes that was brought back from across the land. The land is ours. Not just a few grapes that come back, but the whole land is ours. You know, he says some things in the breach that sounds very much like this. It all belongs to us. Don't be afraid that the other fellow's going to beat you over there. That's one of the big problems. All this jealousy. People think they have a ministry that is their personal ministry. And if it's your personal ministry, I'm telling you what, it's sad because you're leading men astray, if that's what it is. If your ministry is not God doing, having his will in your life and living it and speaking it, then you're doing nothing but leading men astray. And it happens every day. It all belongs to us. Don't be afraid that the other fellow's going to beat you over there. Just join up with him and go on over. That's the way to do it. And we've been on this mountain for 40 years. Let's get off of it. Let's get off this denominational mountain. Now, that's going to make a little more sense here in just a minute. Let's get off it and go towards the promised land. All right, now this is out of the Church Ages book. The Pergamon Church Age. And he's talking about Joshua and Caleb being down there. And this is the one I mentioned a while ago. Now, I don't remember ever reading this quote. I don't know how I missed it, but I did. Now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land is coming. Now he's going to tell you what Joshua and Caleb is here in just a minute. That's what the interesting part is. Our promised land is coming in sight even as theirs came in sight. What did he say a while ago with the promised land? Let's get out of these denominations and go towards the promised land. So the promised man, there ain't no denominations there. And right here he's saying our promised land is coming in sight even as theirs did. Now Joshua means Jehovah Savior. And listen, he represents the end time leader that will come to the church even as Paul came as the original leader. Now, who is that? If that's not the prophet, I don't know who it is. He's the one that came. And now listen, Caleb represents those that stayed true with Joshua, that end time leader. Talk about a promise, Lynn. Remember, God had started Israel as a virgin with his word, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel or let her go into the promised land until it was his own appointed time for it. Now the people might have put pressure on Joshua the leader and said, the land is ours. Let's go and take it. So they're trying to tell Joshua the leader what to do. And we just read who Joshua was. Joshua was the prophet. The land is ours. Let's go and take it. Joshua, you're all through. You must have lost your commission because he's not jumping up and doing what they say. See, we heard a while ago people with their own understanding what they do. Joshua, you're all through. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God and act quickly. Listen to that. Just because God hadn't spoke to him in a little bit, they all of a sudden, they knew better. God ain't spoke to them, but they knew better. They could tell him everything they wanted to. I just think about all them ministers telling Brother Branham what to do and trying to boss him around and tell him stuff. I mean, and more than one time he mentioned how that it was not a surprise that Luther could come out and protest the Catholic Church and get away with it. He said what was so wonderful about Luther coming out was that all the hysteria and the fanatics that come up around it, all the little branches off of people's ideas of what had come off, he said, and then keep his head above all that. That was the miracle there. And you think about what he was dealing with here, all the stuff that was going on and being told to him, and Brother Branham, it's this way, and Brother Branham, it's that way. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God and act quickly. Something's wrong with you. Just because he hadn't done what they wanted him to do. See that? Human reasoning. But Joshua was a God-sent prophet, and he knew the promises of God. So he waited for them. He waited for the... He didn't go out and try to make it happen. Brother Ram said when he stopped the sun, that was God-inspired when he stopped the sun. He didn't go out on his own and do it. He didn't go out because they fussed at him and said, you should do this and you should do that. He waited for a clear-cut decision from God. And when the time came to move, when it came time to move, not when their reasoning got to a frenzy point, nothing else. When it came time to move, God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hands. Now, who did he just say Joshua was? The prophet. Remember we said last time before, Brother Ram said that you can't bear this message on the denominational carts, that it had to be bore on the heart of a prophet. Now, he's talking about the same thing. When it came time, he placed the full leadership. Where is he talking about? Right there. Where is he talking about? Where was that full leadership placed? When you remember those dreams where Brother Branham was placed at the head of the table? You remember those? Okay. So, saying it without coming right out and saying it. God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hands because he had stayed with the word. None of them denominations had done that. God had one man in the land in this day, and he stayed with it. God would trust Joshua, but not the others. He didn't trust the others with this. He was only going to be bore on the prophet, heart of the prophet. So it will repeat in this end day. Now, isn't that just as clear as a bell? Amen. What he's pointing at? He's pointing. He said that happened with Joshua. And Joshua represented the leader in the last day, likened to Paul in his day. I don't know how to get much clearer. So it will repeat in this end day the same problem and the same pressures. And brother, I think he could speak to it because he was in it, in the middle of it, in that battle. All right, so coming out of the denominations and going into the promised land. What is the promised land? Is it Paul's message? Is that the promised land that we were promised? Let's find out. This is in the Ephesian church age. book. What the church had at Pentecost is her inalienable right. What the church had. Originally, she had the pure word of God. She had exactly what God told her to do right down there. Go into that upper room and wait. Told her to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which was Jesus Christ. And they were doing just what they were told to do. Originally, she had the pure word of God. She had the power of the Spirit manifested in diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, you think about that. How much earnestness do you think it took for Caleb and Joshua to stand up against every last one of them? That word had to mean everything to them before they would stand up against the rest of them. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience to the word received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now, he just made those statements, and now he was giving you the scripture for it. That original church was not organized by men. Wasn't organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. Now, I can read that quote. Just read that quote. And then people would start arguing with me. Not because of the quote, but because of what they think I think about the quote.
Amen.
You see that?
Yeah.
And that's not God. God don't reason. God don't assume. God has thus saith the Lord, or he's quiet. The original church was not organized by men. And we're still talking about the church. We're not talking about the bride of this day. We're still talking about the church. The original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost during the Son of God dispensation, right? Not the Son of Man dispensation, the Son of God dispensation. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with that original word pattern, being led by that Holy Ghost. But now listen to what he says. Don't miss this. Now don't get led astray here. He just told us this sounded really wonderful. Now he says, but don't get led astray here. When I said that God and his ways never change, I did not say that the church and the messengers could not change. The church isn't God. Wow. The church isn't God. He just told you all these things that was happening in the church. But the church isn't God. Wow. But what I said, so she can change. But what I said was that because of the unchanging God, the unchanging ways, we can go back to the beginning and see the first and perfect act of God and then judge by that standard. Go back to when God gave them the word there at Pentecost. Told them what to do. That is how it is done. And that's what we saw happen in this day. He went back to that first and he went from that. The true church will always try to be like the original at Pentecost. The true church. The church that's not God. The true church of today will try to approximate the early one, the early first one. And the messengers to the churches, having the same Spirit of God in them, will try to approximate the Apostle Paul. They won't be exactly like him. But the true messengers will be the ones that come the closest to Paul, who was free of all men. See, that's what he went back to. Being free of all men, sold out to God, and gave forth the word of God only. He didn't let somebody's opinion make him say one thing or another. He didn't let somebody's idea make him do one thing or another. And it won't make us do that in our daily life. Our opinion of our family or our opinion of some coworker or something else. It won't make us do something other than what God said. We got our eyes on God and Him alone. And that's the only way you're going to get to the promised land. If you take your eyes and put it off on somebody else, you're going a different direction. You're going off, what's this one think? What's that one think? What does God think? What did He tell you He said? What do you believe about what He said? What have you seen happen in this day? And do you believe what you've seen happen? And we're going to find out when we say, what do you believe and how do you believe? That people take that really loosely. They say it really loosely. And I'm going to read you something. It ought to stir you because it really stirred me. We're going to read you something in just a minute. Sold out to God and gave forth the word of God only and manifested the Holy Ghost in power. None else would do. You have to work from the original as like begets like. The true church will always be the one that tries to follow in the steps of her founders at Pentecost, and her messengers will follow the Apostle Paul, the first messenger to the first church age. The church age messengers will do this. It is that simple and that wonderful. So he just said the church was not God. But what did he say about the bride? And why would that matter? He said, let's get down off this denominational mountain and let's go to the promised land where there's no denominations. Modern events made clear by prophecy. So you could change that title if you wanted to. Modern events, things that are happening right now, are made clear by prophecy. The things that are happening right then were made clear by things that had already been prophesied would take place. If that isn't something that God's interpreting and bringing to pass and vindicating, I don't know what is. Notice now, they had done to him just exactly what the prophets said they would do. They'd done to Jesus exactly what the prophecies said they would do. Brother Branham said that they were in the temple when the veil rent, singing about David's psalm, about my bones, they stare at me. In the different psalms that he wrote back there. They had done to him just exactly what the prophets said they would do. Just as they are doing to this very same day in the Laodicean age. So when he preached, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion, it was very serious. If you want to look at it, read Revelation 3, blind, naked, and don't know it. Turning Christ, when he begins to reveal himself into the seed form again, the same one that went in the ground, come back to be the bride. Just the bride and the groom. Just the bride and the groom is the same flesh and blood, the same ministry. If they got the same ministry, you can't call this one not God. Because they got the same ministry as God. How can they not be? The same ministry and the same things. Doing just exactly what he done. Brother Bram said the only way you can act like Beethoven really is if you have Beethoven's spirit in you. And here they're impersonating. What did he say that first church did? It went whoring, he said. That's the words he used. It went whoring. The first church age. And here they're impersonating and going and doing everything else. And each one has got his book and a running with and this. And you never heard such sensations. Brother Branham inhales through his nose. I smell a devil now. All this and that. Just as unscriptural as it can be. Emotional reasoning and mess. And the genuine thing laying right before them. The real thing is laying right there. And they're turning to that. Because why? Because they don't want the word, this plainness of the word, the strictness of the word that takes you out of the world. They don't want that. They don't want it in the message. They say they want the message, and then they turn around, and half of them's got TVs in their houses, or if they don't have TV in their house, they got video coming in on their computer or something else. They say they're separate from this world, and they're not separate from this world. I'm going to read you something. I'm going to let the prophet tell you what separate means. Not Chris, but the prophet. I agree with it. But the genuine thing laying right there before them, they walk away. They don't belong to my organization. That's their reasoning for walking away. Because they don't belong to their church. That's why they walk away. I'm not going to listen to nothing you got to say because you don't go to my church. My, just blind leading the blind. Won't they all fall in the ditch? Blinded by man's denominational traditions, they put him out of their church as God said they would do in Revelation 3, as usual, as prophesied. Just as usual when it prophesied it was going to happen. And we saw it. I was talking to my mom the other day about that, about how they put him out. And the only place hardly he could preach was the men's business, the businessmen's stuff. Notice how Jesus made himself known to these disciples now. And we're close. These two disciples, Cleopas, he starts to say that. And then he says Cleopas, rather, and his friend. Now, we're in the resurrection. The morning after the resurrection, he's pointing out, all right, I'm telling you this story, and I'm laying the scene for you, and we're in the resurrection, the morning after the resurrection. This is where these two are walking on the road to Emmaus with Jesus. After the resurrection, the first resurrection. What a beautiful morning. Jesus is up from the dead and living amongst his people. What a beautiful thought. You look at those messages he preached in the first of 65, brother. You don't think this thought is not just for that day, or he would not have mentioned the first resurrection. He's here the same today as he was that day. That day, that first resurrection, the same as that. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
I found it.
Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And revealing himself more today than he was in any other age since that day. Come through the wheat and stalk and shuck. He's all past now. It's all past now. Sounds like we've come down off that denominational hill now. We're into the wheat again. See, we're back into the grain. Watch how he made himself known to these people. Now remember, as their Messiah, just before we close, of the promised word of the age. Now notice how the Messiah, the promised word of the age, made himself known to these people. He's not talking about just back there. Why would he tell us about that if he just wants to talk about there? I know I've said that 100 times, but it's real, brother and sister. Just before we close, of the promised word of the age, notice, he appeared unto, as he has said, he do to the prophets. Notice, fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets has wrote of him had to be fulfilled. Watch him. He refers right back to the word of God. So he's showing them how he's revealing himself to them on the resurrection morning. What a beautiful thought, he said. And here he is in this message. What is he doing? He's pointing these things out. He's pointing out the prophecy for today, like Jesus was pointing out to them in their day. Look at the name. Look at the name of the message. What was the name of it here? Modern events made clear by prophecy. And what is he doing? He's doing the same thing Jesus was doing. Notice how they made it, he said. Notice how he revealed himself to them. Notice how. Now remember, as their Messiah, let me see, make sure I got to the right place here. Promised word of the age. Notice, he appeared as he said he'd do to the prophets. The screen jumping around on me. Notice, fools and slow of heart, to believe all the prophets has wrote of him had to be fulfilled. Watching, he refers right back to the word of God. He never come right out and told them. Now, he's talking about Jesus, but he's talking about Jesus now too.
Amen.
He can't be Jesus back there and do it one way, and then Jesus now. He just told us he was going to be the full Jesus revealed in flesh. He never come right out and told them, "Don't you know me? I'm the Messiah that's resurrected." He never said that. See, he just give them the scripture like John did and the rest of them. See, they have to pick that out themselves. You work out your salvation. They have to judge for themselves. Now, don't go to sleep. Judge for yourself. Fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets has said had to come to pass. And brother, if that ain't what's going on nowadays in the message. What a rebuke to them that claimed they knew him. Notice how he approached the subject. He never come right out and said, I said a few minutes ago and said, "Well, don't you know I'm your Messiah for this age?" This is how he approached the subject of who he was and explaining to them on the resurrection morning who he was when they didn't even recognize him yet. This is the approach he took. Now, is that the approach the prophet took? We see that that's what it took. And he told you, "You be the judge." "Well, don't you know I'm the Messiah for this age? Don't you know that I'm he?" The real servant of God never identifies himself that way. Never. The scripture identifies who he is. Sure, he will. God called their attention to what the prophets had said to look for in the Messiah's age. And then they had to look for it. Isn't that exactly what went on with that little sister at the well? That somewhere or another, she'd heard that little bit. She had that to deal with. And then when that interpreted itself in front of her, she recognized it. She judged that not like the priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Remember when I said that about Brother Branham said that she knew more about God than all of them Sadducees and Pharisees stacked together. Think about that. They studied that message night and day and still didn't know who he was. They called him Beelzebub, and in just a few seconds, she called him who he was.
Amen.
Recognized him from just a little bit of words she'd heard back to who knows how long ago, buried back under all these years that she'd wallowed in her sin and things. And God hit that, and the bell rung true. So right back, fools, slow of heart, not to believe that all the prophets said about the Messiah should come to pass. And what about today? What about now? Does God change his mind? This has been going on for nearly 20 years and no organization. It can't. We're in the wheat time, the harvest time. I can hear the great combine coming. We're going home one day. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I'm not he, but I'm his servant. I do not believe that you lay hands on people and give them gifts. Gifts and callings are without repentance. So people don't give other people gifts, right? Gifts and callings are without repentance. They are predestinated of God. Your calling and your gift is predestinated of God. It's not appointed by man. Ever. Don't ever let a man tell you what you should be. Tell you this and tell you that. Not unless it's the prophet. But the God will show you who you should be. They are predestinated of God to meet the age and the time of that age. And if you're a child of God in this day, we're predestinated to meet this. We're predestinated of God to meet the age and the time of that age. Any Bible student knows that's the truth. Moses was born just in time. Jeremiah in time. All the rest of them. John the Baptist in time. Jesus was in time. And we're in time. This is what is supposed to happen. Now I claim that he is alive today in his spirit after the church ages. We're in the Laodicea church age. The last call. And the worst of all of them, because he was put out of the church. He's already been put out of the church. We know that. Remember, Son of Man, and he was put out of the church, not an organization out of an organization. He's making that really clear. But a person out of an organization. What did we read that quote there at the beginning? Let me go back to this again real quick. I thought I had it marked out there, but I don't see it. But it was the one where he talked about he comes back in full revelation of Jesus Christ. He put out of the church, not an organization out of an organization, but a person out of an organization. See, none of the other church ages had that, just the Laodicea. If you're spiritual, you'll understand. If you're spiritual, you'll understand your day. And what happened. And we know. We saw what happened. Now look. Now I guarantee you. If you go take that. Right there. That Christ was put out of the church in this day. And you take that around. To the message churches. And talk to the preachers. How many of them will say they believe that? Ask them. How many they believe that? I haven't asked them myself. But if they believe that. Then they have to believe that Christ was here. Because if Christ is put out, Christ has to be here. And if he's put out, then Laodicea goes into chaos. And how can Laodicea go into chaos if he's still on the throne? There's all these things that Brother Branham told us. They don't fit together when people, and you just pull one of their blocks out. And all the reasoning starts falling. Brother Branham told us the way things are. And as long as you stay right with what Brother Branham said, you won't get off. Married to... Now look, now here's where he tells you just how serious it is about saying, oh, I believe in these other things. If a woman goes out here and is married to a man, and she goes out and makes love to another man, and has affairs with him, and comes back to her husband, he should kick her out. Is that right? She must be true to him because she is vowed to him. Now think about God and his bride. We call ourselves bride real freely. But think about what he says here, what the bride is. And the bride of Christ is vowed to Christ. Vowed to him. And he is the word. Not even wink. At the other side, think spiritually now, a woman would not even wink at another man. She would make no signs, no emotions at all towards him, for she's absolutely a bride of one bridegroom. You think about what it means to make a claim that you're the bride. We don't want none of your mixed trees, your denominations. Be true to Christ, the word. He'll vindicate it to be true. If you'll be true to it, He'll vindicate it to be true. What does that mean? He'll manifest his word in you. Because his word is in you, but he can't manifest it if it's not his word. He'll vindicate it to be true. No, sir, not even any emotion of anything towards making love to him, this other person, spiritually speaking, not joining his ranks or anything else, or let him get you in his arms or in his care, or talk to you over this away or that away. You listen only to one voice. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they'll not. What is his voice? Any man's voice is his word. They know his word, and they're not going to look and twist and turn in any other way. They're not going to flirt with anything else. And this is it, the Bible, not one word to be added to it or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger they won't follow, a denomination. There he goes again. It ain't no denomination you're following. She is part of the groom. True to him in every point. This don't sound at all like he said about the church. He said she's not God, he said. She could change. That didn't mean the people in the church ages weren't children of God, but we done went over that about probing and stuff and things like that. She is part of the groom, true to him in every point, waiting the wedding, uniting, not at the ecumenical council, not in her reasoning, not in somebody else's reasoning. There's no wedding in that. There's no union in that. God can't vindicate that. God can't join himself to that, ever. Not at the ecumenical council, but in the sky at the wedding supper she's been given. This is for our own church. She's been given and revealed to her the seven seal mysteries of the Bible. She's been given that. This is why she's not a denomination. This is why she can't be a denomination. This is her promised land right here. It's promised. Everything she needs to find her way there is right there. She sees the folly of the deceiver. Remember what we talked about in the beginning, where Brother Bram said you have to recognize Satan in all of his tricks. She sees the folly of the deceiver, so very close to the truth that almost deceived the elected. She sees it. She sees it, brother. That's a promise. You will see it. When we read that about she can't be deceived, this is why. You'll see the truth. There's no missing it to God's people. But if you're over here worried, sick, and wringing your hands, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I might miss it. Then who's your trust in? If you don't have your trust in God, then you're going to miss it. You got to give it to him. Brother Branham, I told Katrina the other day, I listened to that You Must Be Born Again from 1961. It's like the last service of 1961. And Brother Branham is talking about when that death comes, and the death of that old you, that old soul comes. And when he said that comes, he said what happens is that you realize through God's help that you are so wrong, that you're so bad, and that in that state, you're so lost. There always has to be a turning point. You have to turn from where we're born, and where every last one of us are reborn into that. And there has to be a place that we turn, and we realize through God showing us just what place we're in, how awful it is. And he said, you got to be so sorry for being that person, that you die. You're so sorry you die, he said. And then there's another you then. You wouldn't have nothing to do with that world after that. She sees it. And that's why I was saying that. See, once that happens, Brother Branham said, then God can start feeding you. Then he can start giving you what you need. You're not afraid anymore. You're trusting him for everything you have need of. You're trusting him, and he's going to bring every little bit you need. Brother Bram talked about you as a baby. He said earthly father has his mother is a baby that's growing, and he says she starts craving something. He's going to find it and get it for her because he wants his baby to be right. Now, how much more can God provide everything that you have need of? He can do it. And he does do it. But she sees it. What does she see? Sees the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. Can you see it? Each is very religious. Cain and Abel, spirits, again, coming to their heads. Still same as they started. One is worshiping by beauty and by knowledge and by education and by science and by ethics. The other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Two ways to worship. One by the intellect and one by faith. And that's it. And both of them is standing right in this building this morning. Now, he's talking about Jeffersonville. I hope he's not talking about here. But both of them is standing right in this building this morning. Right there in Jeffersonville, in the message church of the day, both of those were standing there. Some of them worshiping in beauty, in smartness, intellect, what they could figure out. And others just by faith, just by trusting him. That's right. Revelation or faith in his word makes no claims of knowledge. The real true Christian. They say, have you got a doctor's degree? Makes no claims. I believe his word. See, doesn't make any claims. Doesn't claim to be educated. Doesn't belong to any denomination, any party, any sect. It belongs to Christ. That's the only way, brother and sister. It's his wife, not a church wife. Not a church wife. This is his wife. The church wife is a prostitute. The Bible said she was a whore and the mother of harlots. And they all come together and make the same whore. And that kind of woman is a woman that's untrue to her husband. And we just talked about that. And claiming Christ as her husband, but belonging to denomination. She's claiming that Christ is her head. She's living by faith while she's living by reasoning. Such nonsense. We belong to Christ. But in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, here, off somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, wherever it is, in some, believes the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. That's what they saw happening there with the prophet's ministry. She is watching for it. She's part of that word. Even though that little woman was doing what she was doing, somewhere she was still looking for that. As Brother Ram said, she's watching for it. She's watching for it. She's part of that word. And she's watching for her life to manifest that word. What did we just say a while ago? If it's any reasoning whatsoever, God's not going to manifest that. And she's watching for her life to manifest that word. Brother, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting, which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit that she is waiting for. That's what she's waiting for. The word, see, is waiting for the spirit. Now, we talked about what that union was. We've been over that. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. It has to be his life. And she's only going to take his life. She's only looking for his life because she's been given that vision to see it. She can't come to life any other way. Yet
She feels it out there and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. Then she wakes up and God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one came forth. Now, when is he talking about that God said, let there be? Talking about now. He's talking about now. She came forth like the first one because God said, let there be. My goodness. I thoroughly enjoyed this message. I'm sorry that it's not a shouting message or something maybe, but I tell you, I can't get enough anymore. It's used to, I had other things I could, you know, get some interest in and go do and stuff. And every once in a while I do, but most of the time I end up back in the study. You know, I just go wander, do this, work on that, and then end up back in the study again. And so I'm thankful for it. And I appreciate it. Appreciate y'all being patient and listening to me. Let's stand.
What was that song we were talking about singing the other day? It was a couple. If you remember those. Oh, it was On the Wings of a Snow White Dove. Yeah. Wasn't that yet? I don't have the words on that. I'll have to. Is that in the book? Oh, okay.
On the wings of a dove.
Comforter. Amen. We I didn't know if Brother Don had told everybody he's going to Africa on the 13th. April the 13th. So let's be praying for him. And see he's getting ready. And be praying for my mom. I talked with her yesterday and she's struggling a little bit. So just keep her in prayer. And you know how Satan does. He tries to take every little thing and